What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have my brother DJ Kevin Rucker here on the podcast. Bro, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
My name is DJ Kevin Rucker, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hello, everyone.
Wonderful, brother. Super happy to have you here on the podcast. And we want to hear your story, man. So tell us about the beginning, how you got into DJ, what kind of sparked your interest in becoming a DJ, and just talk to us from the very beginning.
Basically, I started around college, around 92, actually. We had a college radio station where I went to school at, and I got a radio show on the station. And on that show, I would play a lot of hip hop, a lot of R&B, and, you know, going to the school, there really wasn't a lot to do on the weekends. So, you know, with us being part of the radio station, we just started to decide to throw a party. We weren't even necessarily DJs. We were college radio DJs, not even DJs. But, you know, once that started, it kind of, you know, and people actually came out, it kind of, you know, lit the bug in me that, you know what I mean, this is addictive. Between, you know, back then, you know, buying a vinyl and finding new music and then, you know, throwing parties and what have you, it was just a lot. Plus, the scene back in Philadelphia back in those days was just right with DJs. I mean, you had house DJs, hip hop DJs, and the club scene was popping. So in the 90s, it was just a whole lot of things going on. So basically, once I got bit by the bug, it never stopped. I was, you know, taking money, you know, every week just to buy records, you know what I mean, investing in equipment, you know what I mean, going to clubs to see other DJs spin, making tapes, trying to get on. And it was just, you know, once you get bit by the bug, you can't stop, basically. So that's kind of how I started through college radio, and it kind of blossomed and just, you know, becoming legit spin.
Yeah, amazing, man. And I hear the story a lot of DJs, you know, they catch that bug and then there's just this passion that comes upon you that just makes you super involved in the DJ industry and this passion, this journey that you're taking to become a legitimate DJ and really, you know, rocking these parties. So I'm super excited to hear, you know, where you went from there after getting introduced as a college DJ, and then, you know, being on the radio for your college. You know, where did it go from there and how did you transition within your DJ career?
Basically, once I left college, you know, I basically got a corporate job. But, you know, I was taking all the money I was making from the job and investing in equipment and basically making tapes and giving it to anybody that would listen. And sometime between like 97 and 98, I met this guy named Casey Bajay, who had a fanzine called Audioglyphics. And he had a whole lot of connects throughout the club scene. And, you know, he would get me these little gigs here and there at these places downtown in Philadelphia. So basically, you know, whatever connects that I had, you know, it might be from another DJ, I've been here, I've been there, and around probably 2000, there used to be a publication called the Philadelphia City Paper. And they had this DJ spinoff. And from all the tapes they got, I placed in the top four. Basically got a showcase to spin at one of the bigger clubs in Philadelphia called Shampoo at the time. This place was massive. It was like three floors. And from there, you know, it started getting the name out a little bit, and I was able to make connects to where as though, you know, I could, you know, spin, you know, have a monthly here, a monthly there. And, you know, I started getting residency. I had a weekly residency at a spot from there where, you know, they would let me play anything I wanted to, which now is kind of unthinkable. So, you know, once you get your feet wet in the club scene, that's the thing. Getting, it's one thing to spin on radio and to, you know, do one-offs here and there, but spinning every week for people, I mean, I think that's kind of how you get your wings, because you really get to, you have to, you know, read crowds, and you're getting tighter every week because you're doing it every week. And you get to experiment with different types of music. So, I mean, that time period was the best because, you know, basically you see what works, what didn't work. And plus around that time, I got into mobile DJing too with a friend of mine. And that was just a whole different world. So, you know, it's like I said before, man, once you get bit by the bug, then you want to take every gig you could possibly get.
I like how you highlighted the role that a residency plays, especially for early DJs. It really gives you your wings. It really gives you that experience that really matures you as a DJ. Talk about some of the learning lessons that you learned while in your residency. And then after that, talk about how you go about finding residencies. I know some DJs have a hard time breaking in and finding these residencies. So talk about your learning lessons and then just how to acquire residencies.
The learning lessons is basically... trying to, you know, it's a fine line between playing for yourself and playing for the people. And basically what that means is that you want to play stuff that interests you, but at the same time, that gets the people moving. At the end of the day, your job is to interact with the crowd and to get people into what you're doing. So you're not there just for yourself. It's kind of a 50-50 thing. You want to play things that keep you involved, but at the end of the day, you're there for the people. And that's the one lesson that stuck with me forever, is that you're there to make the people move and to get everything going. And basically, you know what I mean? That's that. I mean, sometimes DJs get so involved into what they're doing and what they want to hear, they forget about the crowd. But the crowd is the number one thing. I mean, if you don't have a crowd, if you don't have their attention, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I mean, nothing else is going down besides that. So my whole thing is basically, that's the number one lesson, is that, you know, you have to read the crowd. You have to see what works, what doesn't work, and how to keep their attention through a 3-4-5 hour period. It's not an easy thing to do, especially if you're the only DJ for the night. You know what I mean? Now it's a lot of clubs that might want to pack 4 or 5 guys in a night, which is good, but to do that by yourself, that's a lot of work and a lot of energy, and you have to plan stuff in order, you know what I mean? You can't just hit people with bangers, you know what I mean? From 9 o'clock on, you kind of have to pace yourself and take them on a journey, you know what I mean? Get them up to the high, take them back down, and this, again, it's a journey. It's like a ride almost, and, you know, it's an art to it. And I think a lot of, you know, it's a lost art to in some ways, definitely.
Awesome advice, man. Great learning lessons. You definitely got to take people on a journey, not just hit them with bangers. And it's the early lesson that you're able to learn and be successful with,
yeah,
in terms of rocking these parties. And tell me a little bit about how DJs, you know, either back then or even today, how can they go about finding these various residencies and getting that early experience?
I mean, honestly, it's twofold. It's kind of who you know, and it's kind of also your hustle, your work ethic. It's kind of, you know what I mean, you have to be hungry enough to, you know what I mean, to seek out opportunities and to hustle enough, you know what I mean, to get them. I mean, it's kind of like you have to build relationships with people so they know that you're out there, they know your work ethic, they know that, you know, that you're reliable. You know what I mean? And it's kind of, it's everything. It's luck, it's your work ethic, and it's basically your relationships with people. You know what I mean? You kind of have to know that people know that you're out there, that, you know what I mean, that you're doing what you're doing. So when the opportunity comes, you're ready. And that's the main thing, man. I mean, you got to be ready, and you have to know people. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know what I mean? And it's the hustle. I mean, Even now with the online thing, it's the hustle. You kind of constantly have to be grinding, that people know that you're out there, that you're doing quality work, and that, you know what I mean, and that, you know, people know where to find you. If they don't know where to find you, if they don't know where to hear you at, then, you know what I mean, it's going to be hard to get on.
Definitely, so, man. I think, you know, you mentioned, you know, right now with the online and how everything and most things are digital and virtual now, it's important for DJs to make sure you stay top of mind, where people are remembering that you do quality work and you're still brand building in this time where there's not many opportunities to do in-person events. So, you know, I would love to hear, you know, some of the things that you've been doing, you know, since the pandemic started and how you've been building your brand and continuing your DJ career, even in this time where things are digital and social distancing is
the normal. What I do is I have two weekly radio shows online on urbansoundradio.com. I have a Tuesday night show, which is mainly house music, and a Friday night show, which is mainly like classic hip hop and R&B. And it's constantly getting online, promoting the shows anywhere and everywhere you can. And basically giving, you know what I mean, quality sounds to people every week. There might be some weeks that you don't want to do it, that you might, you know what I mean, I might not be feeling it, but you still kind of got to put the, you know, right foot forward and give it to them, because you never know who's out there listening, who might be out there checking it out. And also, I have a Podomatic page, basically, which has all my mixes. It's over like 160 mixes there. It gets updated every week. You can find mixes on there for download. You can stream it. So basically, I keep those out there. So if you want to hear my work, if you want to hear, you know, what I do, go there for free, download it, stream it, and it's right there. So basically, I promote all three of those things constantly, just so people know that, hey, it's out there. You can hear me anytime. Even if I'm not on the air, you can hear me. And also, you know, I get a lot of guest hosting spots on a lot of internet radio shows, man, which is great. You know, people show me enough love and they like the work enough that they give me, you know, a chance to get an hour or two on the airwaves, which is awesome.
Awesome, brother. That's great advice and great insight. I'd love to talk about, you know, what are some things that really make DJing a passion for you? Why do you love it so much? And why should people that are thinking about becoming DJs, why should they take some time to invest yourself in this career?
I'm a music fan first, so I love music. You know what I mean? So, you know, regardless, you know, music is life to me. So I love searching out new music. I love receiving music. Whether it's old or new, I just like diving deep first in it. So I think once you have the love for the music, you have to, you know, invest in that. And you know what I mean? And just finding what works for you. I mean, DJing is an investment to me. It takes time and energy to learn how to do it. And if you have the love for it, it shows. You know what I mean? It's a thing that once you have the love for it, I mean, you'll do it for one person or 100 or 1,000. You know what I mean? It's the love for just presenting the music and, you know, showing that love that you have for the music to other people. So, you know, it takes time, but you have to have the dedication in order enough to stick with it and, you know what I mean, and have it go from there. But, you know what I mean, the dedication, it shows, man. The people that are dedicated, it shows.
Yeah, definitely. And for those that, you know, get started, and it's something that they're doing as a passion. They're just getting started with their career, really not making money from it yet, but they love it. How do you suggest them taking this passion of music and DJing and start turning it into a revenue generating asset for themselves?
I mean, you have to find what kind of works for you. What's your sweet spot, so to speak? If you like doing it online, you have to build up a following to where as though you can show people, hey, this is my following. I DJ online from blah, 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 whether it's on the club app, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's on Twitch. And that could be a revenue thing. And also, you kind of have to invest in yourself, even when things open back up. You know what I mean? If you can't get a gig from club A to B, you know what I mean? You can invest, you can throw your own parties. You kind of have to invest in yourself and find other ways in order to, you know, get revenue where nobody else will believe you. And also, like I said before, you know what I mean, foster relationships, man. You know what I mean? Even though one person might not see it in you, somebody else might. And, you know, you can get on from there. But it's all about having patience and just being dedicated. I mean, if you're patient enough and dedicated enough, the money's going to come. Believe me, you know what I mean? It'll come, but you just have to be patient. I mean, I don't think, you know what I mean, if you've been DJing for 6 months, and I mean, I don't think it's going to happen then, but you know what I mean? Look, if you put enough time and energy to it, it's going to happen because the skills will be there and people are going to see it. And then, you know what I mean, from then on. But you just have to stick to it. You just can't think that, you know what I mean, I got to control it, so now I'm on. You got to stick to it and, you know, you got to, you know, just be out there more than the next man, kind of.
Agreed, brother. And, you know, it's really hard, especially for those that are doing it by themselves. They don't really know how to get started and such like that. What are some ways that people are able to, you know, leverage opportunities out there, leverage learning experiences out there? Or how do they go about just breaking into the industry and learning the craft, learning the skills, learning what it takes to build a DJ business? You know, what are some ways that you were able to learn, and what are some ways that people can learn in today's environment?
Invest in yourself and invest in good equipment. I would say that's the first one. I mean, DJ equipment is expensive, and I understand that, for one. But if you really want to do this correctly, invest in yourself, because the better your equipment, the better your sound, and the better the presentation will be. If you take that investment now, it will pay off later. But if you go the cheap route, you know what I mean, you're kind of going to get what you pay for. So I would say to anybody that's upcoming, invest in yourself first and foremost. And also, there's a lot of avenues out here that people, you know, it's the internet now. You can get heard. I mean, whether it's Mixcloud, whether it's SoundCloud, whether it's Podomatic, whether it's this or that, there are so many more avenues that people can get heard more than it was 20 years ago. So you kind of have to take those avenues and promote yourself, because in some ways it's easier. It's more of a mass audience now because it's the internet, instead of just handing tapes out to this person and that person. Mm-hmm. Anybody around the world can hear you now. So you kind of just have to, you know, take advantage of that and, you know, let people know, well, yeah, I got this thing going on online. Take a listen. So, you know, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, it's so much more out here online through social media also. A good social media presence helps too.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think that you do a really good job of what you're doing on social, and that's how we connected. I'm really glad that you have a great presence. And talk to me a little bit about your branding. You know, you've decided to use your real first and last name for your DJ name. You know, some DJs, they choose a DJ name, some don't. You know, what are the pros and cons and that decision making that, you know, decided for you to choose your real name as your DJ name? And what advice do you have for people that are trying to make that decision right now?
Just be comfortable with how you want to present yourself. I just felt as though, you know what I mean, I'm giving you part of me when I put stuff out. So my thing is, what's more honest than you just use my government name? You know what I mean? Since I'm giving a part of me. I mean, you have to kind of just be comfortable with what you want to present out there. You know what I mean? If you want to, you know, have another name, be comfortable with what you're putting out there. That's kind of, you know what I mean? Be comfortable with how you're presenting yourself. You know, you don't have to have a whole different image or whatnot. Just be you, whether it's your real name or something else, but just be you. People will connect with that and they'll see. But it's just kind of, you know, basically how you want to go out there and how you want to present yourself. You have to stand out regardless. There's a lot of DJs out here, a lot. So you kind of have to find your way to brand yourself in a way to make yourself stand out. And it's harder now than it probably was years ago. Because now, like I said, with the internet and social media, everybody's out here, especially with the pandemic. I mean, now you got the big boys competing with everybody now, because nobody can spin at clubs at this point. So you kind of have to find your niche and go on that road. You know, not everybody's going to be D-Knife, but everybody's going to be Louis Vega or Jazzy Jeff. So, you know what I mean? I'm under no airs to compete with those guys. It's kind of, I just want to, you know, get my niche, find my little space in the shade, and, you know what I mean, and rock with that. You know what I mean? You kind of have to be realistic on what you can do and what you can't do. So, you know what I mean? Once you find that spot to where as though you're comfortable, roll with it. I mean, that's basically it. You know what I mean? And brand that. Because you can't really, you know what I mean? Look, you can't really imitate anybody else or try to be like anybody else, because why would they listen to you if you're trying to imitate the other guy? I mean, the other guy, you know what I mean, is that, you know what I mean? Look, you get me for better, for worse, or with warts. You know what I mean? My whole thing is, I'm rocking the way I rock, and you get me. So and I'm comfortable with that. So that's basically it. I mean,
I love that advice, man. You know, everyone has their own uniqueness to them that can make them very special, and they can build a brand around who they are and the persona that they want to establish for their DJ career. So I think that advice and that reminder to people to be yourself, build your own brand. You can take elements from people, you can learn from other people, but you have to make it your own and really own it. And that's how you stand out as a brand, as a DJ, and figure out what makes you special and triple down on that. And just let people know that this is who you are, this is your brand, and this is how you're going to rock the party and be a great DJ for them. And that's how you're going to do it, with that confidence.
Right. I mean, look, we're all influenced by other DJs. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm not, but at the same time, I can't rock it like some other guys. I got to find what makes me special and roll with that. You know what I mean? So you kind of have to find what makes you comfortable musically, presentation wise, and roll with that. And, you know, foremost, find that fine line between, you know, what makes you comfortable and makes the crowd comfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and run with that. Once you run with that, everything else should, you know, fall into place. But it's a constantly learning experience, man. You always learn from DJing, whether you've been doing it 3 months or 30 years. It's a constant thing where you continuously learn things, and you know, you want to keep, you know, getting to that next level. So, you know what I mean? It's a thing to where, as though, I don't think I'll ever get jaded in doing this, because every gig, you learn something new.
Great, brother. I really appreciate it, man. And let's talk about, you know, some of the things you're working on and focused on now before we jump into the lightning round. So tell me a little bit about where your head is at now, what's your focus, and some of the things we can see from you now and maybe in the future.
The focus right now is on a Tuesday night show, Soulful Sounds in the Cherry Room. That's Tuesday nights on Urban Sounds Radio. Sounds spelled with a Z at the end. UrbanSoundsRadio.com. Every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. And actually, I'm going to be starting a new show on another station on Friday evenings from, I think, 7 to 9 on Friday nights. And that I should have the information out this week. And that's going to be classic R&B, classic hip-hop, classic dancehall reggae, neo soul. We kind of switch it up every week so it doesn't get stale and whatnot. But that's gonna be popping off on Fridays. I always have the Podomatic page hidden. You know, a lot of mixes, a lot of things going on. I still do a lot of mobile work also, so that, you know, that kind of keeps me, you know, in the grind and whatnot. And also, what I'm trying to do, basically, once everything opens up, is, you know what I mean, invest some money in myself, trying to find a spot to throw some parties myself. So that's the goal for 2021, later in 2022, is to take the Cherry Room on the road, basically, and, you know, build on that. So, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we can make that happen. But definitely those three things we want to try to make happen for 2022.
Awesome, brother. Definitely looking forward to following you in your journey with those things. And are you ready for the lightning round?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Okay. Well, I have two setups. If I'm doing mobile, I have a Pioneer SRT 1000. I use the Mackie 12. And for home, I have the Pioneer DJM 600 and two Technic turntables. Which you can never go wrong with two Technic turntables, man. Those babies are tanks. I'm telling you, those babies are tanks. They'll probably outlive all of us, man. I love those things. The Techniques are awesome.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd probably say right now, DJ Spinner. He does a little bit of everything, man. And I any guy that can do everything good, I'm with it.
What has been your favorite party or event you DJed at, and why?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I'm trying to think. I know. Schuylkill Park, 2007, 4th of July. That was hot. That was hot.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Probably, I've met King Britton on a couple occasions from Philly. real interesting cat, real good dude.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I would say the one thing that's missing would be just in general, freedom. And I'll say that why. Because a lot of these online apps aren't giving us enough freedom to be heard. So I would say freedom. I think because of what's going on, you know what I mean? I think they should give us a little bit more leeway to rock. And a lot of places aren't.
And shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
Oh, man. Shouts out to my man, DJ Black in Texas. He's real good. My man, Rob Payne from Philly. T. Alfred. My man, Lauren. It's a whole bunch of cats, but those are the guys that come to mind.
Awesome. We look forward to hearing their stories. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Oh, yeah. You can find me online at podomatic.com/DJ Kevin Rucker. Rucker spelled R-U-C-K-E-R. You can find me online also every Tuesday evening on urbansoundsradio.com. The word sounds is spelled with a Z at the end. And those are the two places you can always find me at, but definitely the Podomatic. If you ever want to hear me 24/7, the Podomatic page is the place to be.
Awesome, brother. This was an amazing interview. Really glad for you to be on the My DJ Story podcast. And everyone, please check out DJ Kevin Rucker doing some really great things. Check him out. He's amazing.
Peace, people.